Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 5. You can open up your paper Bible. You can open up your iPhone or digital Bible. But just don't text while I'm preaching. Make sure you stick to the Bible. And also we've got it coming up on the screen for those who want to check it out on the screen. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 5. But to Hannah he gave a double portion. Say double portion. To Hannah, God gave a double portion. Her husband gave her a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. Isn't it interesting to think that the Lord can love somebody and keep their womb closed? And it's not that he was keeping her womb closed because he didn't love her. He closed her womb because he was preparing her for a new level. And then it goes on, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Well, every husband thinks that's true. There was not much laughter here. You weren't with me on that one today. Of course it's not true. What kind of man thinks that? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. And now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you'll only look on your servant's misery and remember me." Somebody say, "Remember me." Aren't you glad that the Lord always remembers you? Aren't you glad that the Lord has never forgotten about you? Even when it seemed like he wasn't there, he was always there. Somebody say, "Remember me." And Lord, remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and he said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." She's praying like a crazy person. She's praying so undignified. She's praying so loud, out of order. She's praying like a woman who is desperate to receive something from God. See, sometimes I think in church we get a bit too churchified and dignified that we forget what the Lord has done. And, oh, I don't want to lift my hands, because what will the person next to you think? I've got news for people in this room. Nobody cares what you... nobody's looking at you, and nobody cares whether you lift your hands or not. In fact, here's what I know to be true, that when you lift your hands praising Jesus, the person next to you, they're probably going to lift their hands too and praise Jesus alongside with you. In fact, I believe this, that the longer we walk with God, that we're not just praising God for ourselves, we're praising God for everybody else around us. Yeah, there were two men that got caught in a jail cell, and they began to praise God in a jail cell. And their praise was so strong that all the prison doors opened. Well, I tell you what, I think we need some prison door praises in this church. We need praisers who can praise God and have enough left over for people next to you to be able to borrow. Because I know what it's like. Sometimes we come to church, and when it comes to our praise tank, sometimes we come into church and our praise tank is overflowing. But sometimes we come into the church and our praise tank is empty. Well, that's okay, because when you come into the house of the Lord, that's why we all come together and praise God together. Because then we can begin to see everybody's praise tank go up in the name of Jesus. So I believe that the longer you walk with God, you're not just praising God for yourself, you're praising God for everybody else around you. In fact, we have a name for it here at Forward Church. You are now a rotivator. Check out Webster, it's in there. No, I made it up. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, "Really, it's in there?" I made that up. A rotivator. What's a rotivator? That when Jesus is alive in your heart, when you have a relationship with God and you begin to praise God for yourself, then you become the person that becomes the motivator for the entire row, a rotivator. Are there any rotavators here in Forward Church Logan this morning? Oh, come on. That was, Don't. Don't give me your little kind of like, you know, little sissy praise. Come on. I need some radical praises in the house of God. Yeah, come on. I tell you what, we need some radical praises this morning because I watched the All Blacks game last night. That's why I had to come to the house of the Lord to get healing this morning. It was the most stressful game of rugby I've ever watched in my life. The devil is a liar. But yeah, Lord, come back. But we've got to be motivators. Hey, when people get around you, there's something of God that is on you that is attractive. There's something that God is doing in your life. It's not just what you say. It's how you live. It's not just the fact that you can recite the Bible from the book of Genesis to Revelation. It's the fact that you can live it out. I'd rather have people who know one verse of scripture and live it than somebody who can recite the entire book of Psalms and do nothing with it. Come on, somebody. We need some people who aren't ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus. We need some people in the church who are willing to become even more undignified than this. David was chosen as a man to serve God and be the king of the nation of Israel because David wasn't afraid to get his praise on. In fact, he got his praise on so powerfully that he's lost some of his clothes. I would encourage you, don't do that in this church. But I would encourage you to embody the spirit of David, that when the spirit of the Lord comes upon my life, I will dance like David danced in the name of Jesus. Slap someone next to you and say, I'm going to dance for the Lord. Verse 15, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I have been pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. See, this was a woman who in one encounter with the man of God went to a new level. She walked into the house of God and she was downcast. She walked into the house of God and she was despairing. But when she received a word from God, the Bible says that she stood up and she washed her face and she was no longer downcast. See, that's what it means to go to new levels. It means that you walk in one way and you leave a different way. It's not just that you have a moment with God. It's that that moment creates momentum in your life. That if God has moved you, you can't go back to where you came. You can't live on this level when you are on that level because God's taken you to a new level. And so if God's taken you to a new level, let's stand in the new level in Jesus' mighty name. Someone say new level. Touch someone next to you and say, I'm going to a new level. But if we're going to go to a new level, but if we're going to shift and see God move in our generation, then we must be the kind of people who don't just hear God's word. We must be the kind of people who don't just applaud it. We must be the kind of people who don't just celebrate it. We must be the kind of people who carry it. Touch someone next to you and say, I'm a carrier today. We got to carry God's word. Hey, the shift begins with a word. But once we get the word, we got to carry it. My concern in the church is that everybody wants a new word every day. We go to conferences and want a new word. I want a new word. God, give me a new word. God, give me a new word. And then we get frustrated when God doesn't speak. And the reason that God doesn't speak is because he won't give you a new word if you didn't outwork the old word. If God spoke to you at 5 something in your heart, then God didn't change his mind when you got to 55. The same word that God spoke into your life when you were a boy, when you were a girl, is the same word that's going to come to pass. Maybe your journey wasn't a straight journey. Maybe your journey was a zigzag. Hey, maybe you're like Sean. You didn't even know that Jesus was real until 9 years ago. But however it is that you arrive today, same God who spoke that word in the very beginning is the same God that's going to see it through till the end. He is the finisher, the author, and the perfecter, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is faithful to his word to see it come to pass. And so if God is faithful to his word, then you be faithful to God's word. And you be faithful to your word and be a person who carries. Someone say carry. And this woman, Hannah, was a woman who knew what it was to carry. There are three things out of this woman's life that I want to share with you today. When it comes to carrying the word. When it comes to living on a new level. See, we can't live how we used to live. God gives us bread today for today. God gives us bread tomorrow for tomorrow. Too many of us are living off yesterday's bread. But we've got to live on today's bread. And we've got to carry it. And we've got to work it out in the name of Jesus. And there are some things about this incredible woman of God, Hannah. Hannah was a woman of means. The Bible tells us that she had servants. The Bible tells us that she had a wealthy husband. She had everything. And in the eyes of others, she had everything. But in her heart, the only thing she wanted was a son. It reminds me of the generation we live in today. We have all these Instagrammers. In fact, I met this guy who's in Hope Island. And his name's Peter. And we went to Hope Island, took the Coomera campus to Hope Island about 3 months ago. And we turned up there in the morning. He works there. And he said he came out onto the street. And he said he saw all of these people and these golf buggies taking selfies. They were my staff, my children. Going to this place on these golf buggies. We'd hide the golf buggies, by the way. We didn't steal them. We'd hide them. But we'd cruise them down the street taking selfies. And so anyway, he met us. He's like, man, who are these crazy people? They're awesome. And now Peter Campbell and his wife have joined our church. They're part of the Hope Island campus. And it's going to be amazing. But you know, taking selfies. And today we have a generation of people who take selfies and say, my life is awesome. But inside they're deeply depressed. Yo, making it happen. Yo, living the life on the grind, living the dream. We project images out there that are not the reality of who we are. Now, I'm not saying you should put all this stuff out there either. But what I am saying is that there are many of us who on the outside have this projection of I've got it all together. But on the inside, all we want is a baby. And I've discovered that it doesn't matter if you have everything in your life that they say you should have. It doesn't matter if you get everything that they have. Because if you don't get the thing that God placed in your heart for you, then you're still empty. And Hannah was this woman. Had it all together. But you know one thing I love about Hannah, this woman? Even though she had everything but one thing, she knew where to go to get her breakthrough. She understood that her breakthrough didn't come from her Facebook friends. She understood that her breakthrough didn't come from physicians and other places. She understood that her breakthrough was in the house of the Lord. And there are three things about this woman that I want to share with you today. When it comes to carrying your word, when it comes to receiving your word, when it comes to carrying a breakthrough. Number one, the first key about this woman is consistency. Everyone say consistency. This woman was consistent. The Bible says that for 10 years, she's waiting to have a baby. 10 years. I think I shared it last week. But 10 years, that's 520 Sundays. Imagine coming to church for 520 Sundays, believing God for a breakthrough. I come first Sunday. Believing God for a breakthrough, I leave with no baby. She comes back week number two. Believing God for a breakthrough, no baby. She doesn't give up on week number two. She keeps coming. 3, 4, 10, 100, 200, 300, 400, 520 times. Some of us ask God once, and if he doesn't reply in 30 seconds, we give up. But there are some things in God that will only come to you when you are consistent. When you are consistent. I love so much about what Alan was speaking about this morning in regards to giving. Sometimes we expect that when we give to God, God immediately gives back to us. Tithing, when we tithe and give back to the Lord what is rightly his, Some of us have a mentality that because I gave God my money, he's going to give me back more money. Well, you know what? When we give to God, we're just returning back to him what's his, and we don't give to get. But I know this to be true, that when you position your life under a biblical order, that when you position your life according to God's pattern, here's what I know. God will give you back far more than you could ever give him. Hey, and by the way, the return may not be financial. But I tell you what, I'd pay anything for peace. Come on, I'd pay anything for health. Come on, I'd pay anything for joy. And by the way, when you honor God with your giving and you give to him first, he gives you back joy, peace. He gives you all of those things that money cannot buy. I've been to more hospital beds and seen more people pass into the next life than I can remember. And I tell you what, not a single one of them have ever said to me, Daniel, I wish I had more money. None of them. They never said, oh, Daniel, I wish I worked harder. None of them. You know what they all said? They all said, I wish I took more risk. I wish I had more time with my family. I wish I actually did step out and pursue God's purpose for my life. That's what they say. And this woman was consistent. Everyone say consistent. She came back year after year after year after year. There's a photo coming up on the screen of a woman named Shelley Ann Fraser Price. We got that photo? Yeah, great. Shelley Ann Fraser Price. This woman, at the age of, I believe she was 32, earlier this year, is the fastest woman on the planet. She ran the 100 meter in 2019, won a gold medal, and ran 10.71 seconds. Here's the thing. She started her career 11 years ago. In the 2008 games, she ran a gold. She ran the Summer Olympic Games, and she got a gold medal, and she ran 10.78. 11 years ago. Then in 2009, she got a gold medal. She ran 10.73. 2011, 10.99. She came fourth. 2012 Summer Olympics, 10.75. She got a gold medal. 2013, she got a gold. She got 10.71. 2015, she got a gold, 10.76. In 2016 in Rio de Janeiro, she got a bronze medal and ran 10.86. Then in 2017, she had a baby. In 2017, she had a baby. And her final times weren't improving. They were getting slower. She had a baby, and they said, that's it, your career's over. That's it. You'll never be able to run, you know, run competitively. You'll never be able to win anything, anything again. You know, she's in her 30s. You know, the fastest days for, you know, for those of you who don't understand athletics intimately like I do. That when you are 30, when you are 30 and you are a sprinter, your career is over. And at 30, she has a baby. And then, after many months of not training at all, in 2019, she runs her fastest equal time. She achieved her personal best, and she is now a mother of a 2-year-old boy. Well, I want you to know that the reason that she won that gold medal is not because she was, you know, sort of haphazard about her training. It's not because she, you know, sort of gave up. She was consistent. And if you are consistent, and if you stay the course, and if you keep doing the thing that God's called you to do, and you keep turning up to church on Sunday, and if you keep giving to the Lord, and if you keep honoring the Lord with your time, with your talent, with your treasure, then God will bless your life. We need some consistency in the name of Jesus. Somebody say consistency. Consistency. Because in Christianity, there's no shortcuts. It's the long game. You know what I'm saying? It's the long game. You know, Pastor Ross and Diane, 19 years, planted this church. And you know what? After 19 years, they are still more passionate about Jesus than probably they were when they first started out. Oftentimes, sometimes we think the longer you go, the less passionate you get. But they're a good example of the fact that that is not true. You can choose to be passionate about God and more passionate about God the older you get if you stay consistent. Someone say consistent. Touch someone next to you and say consistency. Consistency. The second thing is, when it comes to carrying God's word, when it comes to going to a new level, the second thing is this, you got to carry God's word with others. With others. The only thing in the book of Genesis and creation that God said was not good was that man be alone. In other words, we are created to live in community, to live in relationship, and carrying God's word with others will ensure that you go to new levels. So the question today is, who's your squad? Who's your God squad? Who is it that you go to? Who is it that get around you, that can inspire you, that can encourage you, that can lift you up? Who's your squad? Here's what I know to be true. You cannot win if you hang out with a losing squad. So stop hanging out with people who don't want to win. For some of us, me included, that included my own family. Hey, I love you, family, but I'm going to love you from a distance. I'll see you at Christmas and reunions. Amen? Amen. Come on, some of your family's crazy too. But what I'm saying to you is this, that if you want to go to new levels, check who you're rolling with. Check your squad. Is your squad going to new levels? Because if your squad's going to new levels, then you're going to go to new levels too. But if you can't go to new levels unless you go into new levels with others, the Bible says that it's two are better than one. One can take 10,000. One can take 1,000. Two can take 10,000. You need a God squad. Find yourself a squad. Pastor Phil Pringle, I was at a conference once, and Pastor Phil Pringle and Pastor Brian Houston were having this conversation together. And Pastor Brian Houston said to Pastor Phil Pringle, "Why is it that you think God's used you?" He said, "That's easy." He said, 10% of God's will was in me, 90% was in the people that God brought around me. So let me encourage you today. Get yourself around people who are going to encourage God's best in your life. Get yourself around people who are going to water the seed. Get yourself around people who, when you leave their presence, you feel more filled with faith. You feel like you could do something greater for God. Come on, you want to get yourself around that kind of people. You know what it's like when you hang around with people who are like takers. And, you know, when you meet them, you're happy, and you leave them, you're down. Anybody? No, don't put your hand up because, well, make a decision. Hey, it's okay to have everyone in our lives. Absolutely, we love everyone. But make sure that the people that you are really bonding with and feeding with and hanging with and rolling with, they're people who are taking you to a new level. When I first became a Christian, my senior pastor said to me, he said, "Daniel, if you want to be strong, you've got to hang out with the strong." He said, "Daniel, you can't be an eagle and hang out with turkeys." And I said, "Yes, sir." And so I went and hung out. So I made a decision that day that I was only going to hang out with people who were going in the direction that I felt like God's called me to go. I made a decision that I love everybody, but I'm really going to focus in on this group. In other words, created a squad. Can I tell you that squad, there were three of us, a guy named George Upu, a guy named Evan Pete, and me. Can I tell you that all three of us, from over 20 years ago, are still the best of friends. All three of us, in fact, you know, Evan, one of my friends, he's pastoring a church in New York. My cousin George, he's just moving. Just from Friday, he's flying back to the Cook Islands, the place where he's from, where I'm from. He's flying back there to look after his family, and to see God move in the church. Yeah, so get yourself around a squad. You don't want yourself around a cynical squad. You don't want yourself around a "no, you can't do that" squad. There's plenty of those in the world. Don't have them in your life. Get yourself around the kind of people who can just water the seed that God's put in your life. In fact, just even recently at the conference, on the Sunday morning of conference where we brought the campuses together, at the end of the service, beautiful Kevin. Kevin was there, and the Lord spoke to Kevin and Ann. And Kevin comes out to the front, and he begins to speak to Teenies at the end of the service. And he said, Pastor Teenie, God's told me to water your vision. So I'm here to water your vision. The man has just retired. Well, actually, he thinks he's retiring. He's just retired from his business, and he's just handed that on. And there he is in the next season of his life. He's decided, I'm not just going to go and sit on a beach. He actually is doing that for a few days, but that's okay. He's decided, I'm not going to go and sit on a beach somewhere, but he's saying, listen, I'm going to water the vision. Make a decision. You're only going to be around people who water the vision in the name of Jesus. And number three, the third lesson we can learn from the life of Hannah is that we must have follow through. Say follow through. Follow through. Many of us are really good at starting things. Oh, I've got this new idea. I'm going to start this. And on the Gold Coast, I've never seen more network marketing companies. There's a new marketing company starting every week. I'm going to start this. I'm going to start that. Hey, I'm going to start this business. Hey, I'm going to start that. And awesome. I'll cheer you on. Amazing. Yes, come on. But we need more people who can finish. We need people who can follow through. My yes is yes. My no is no. If I said I'd do it, I'd do it. If God spoke to my life, then I'm not giving up on the word that he deposited until I see it in reality. And the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And then it became flesh. The word always begins in your heart before it becomes flesh. Many of us get the word in our heart, but we don't follow it through. And because we never follow it through, it never becomes flesh. But we've got to make a decision. Lord, what you've spoken to me, I'm going to see it through. There are people in this church who were part of the vine before it was Forward Logan, who had a dream in their heart, Logan shall be saved. Would pray in prayer meetings all across the city, Logan shall be saved. They had a dream in their heart that this altar would be filled with people coming back to Jesus. They had a dream in their heart that we were going to see a revival. Well, I tell you what, over the past few weeks in this very campus, we baptized 12 people. Come on, every week we're seeing souls saved. Come on. There are people in this place who have carried this word. And I want to honor you all. Because you followed through. And here's what I want to encourage you with. That what we've seen is just the beginnings of what God's about to do. We've got to follow through. Hannah, when God gave her a word, Hannah went, left the church that day. She went home. A year later, she had a baby. His name was Samuel. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:24, when the baby was weaned, Hannah brought Samuel to the Lord. So you remember, she's in the church and she's saying, God, if you give me a baby, I'll give him to you. The Lord answers her prayer. She says, God, because you were true to your word, I'll be true to mine. And the Bible says that she brings her baby back after he was weaned. And she offers him to the house of the Lord. There are many people I've seen in this church, in the church. I've been pastoring over 20 years now. There are many people who, when God answers their prayer, they forget about the God that they prayed to, who answered their prayer. Come into the church, I'm broken, I need healing, get healing, never see them again. Come in the church lonely. I'm serving the Lord and I'm believing God for a partner. And then they get a partner and then they're totally gone. What happened? Here's what happened. You forgot about the God who answered your prayer. When God answers your prayer, don't forget about the God who answered it. But follow through. God, if you give me this baby, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. And he did. She did, sorry. Samuel grew up. He became the last and the final and the great judge. David, he anointed Saul first king of Israel. And then he anointed David. The Bible says Samuel was so strong that none of his words fell to the ground. Hey, we got to be people who follow through. God, what I've begun, what you've asked me to do, I'm going to do. Maybe in this room, God's calling you in 2020. He's saying, hey, listen, it's time to go to Bible college. Maybe in 2020, he's saying, hey, in fact, maybe now, 2019, maybe he's saying, hey, listen, it's time for you to come and join a team. Time for you to, you've received. That's great. Wonderful. Receive. But once you're healed, then it's time for you to get up and start to feed others. Come on. Yeah. If you need healing, take all the healing time you need. But if you are healed, come on.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Come on. We got a kingdom to win.
Yeah.
We got lost people to see saved.
Yeah.
Come on. We got to move. End with this story. Last Sunday we baptized all of these incredible people, and two of my children, after harassing their parents, got baptized, and it was powerful. My oldest one, who was 11, my 9-year-old. And I'm not involved in much of the running of the planning of the services anymore. So they said, so then they're organizing testimonies. So they organized for my two to speak. I didn't know. I didn't ask them. I didn't ask the team. I didn't know what was going on. And then my girls wrote their testimonies that I hadn't even read. So here we are, last Sunday night. I'm on the side of the stage. My two daughters come up. And they share their testimony. You're talking about an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. Can I tell you, and I am biased, that's true. But I also know that this is true. They were amazing.
Yeah, they were.
And they both spoke with confidence and clarity. And then at the end, I remember baptizing them. And I baptized them in the greatest honor of my life, to baptize my own children. I baptized them and I went to pray for them. And bunch of people gathered around them, and my two daughters were facing each other, and they're crying, and they're having a moment with God, and I'm there and I'm watching this whole thing unfold before my eyes, the very thing I prayed for and believed for from the day they were born.
Yeah.
And here they are, they're crying and they're having this moment with God. I mean, she says in her testimony, I've got all these problems. I said, what problems does an 11-year-old have? I've got all these problems, but you know, it's real for her. But they're there and they're looking at each other and they're praying, and their friends around them praying, and all their friends are praying, laying hands on them. The little kids, 9-year-olds, laying hands on them. The kids are crying. Every kid around them is crying. Then we have a couple other pastors who come and pray. I couldn't pray. I just couldn't get any words out. And I'm there and I'm looking at my children, who are having their own encounter with Jesus. And here's what I thought to myself in that moment last Sunday night. I thought, God, forgive me for all the times I've ever thought about giving up. Forgive me for all the times that you try to do good by people and they try to hurt you. Forgive me for thinking that anybody owed me anything. Forgive me, Lord. I don't do this for them. I don't do this I'm the pastor of this church, absolutely. But you could have another pastor. I'm the father of these children, and they'll never have another father.
Yeah.
I'm like, forgive me. And I'm like, forgive me, Lord. And I've ever thought about just throwing in the towel. It's too hard. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking that this was about me. Forgive me, Lord. Because when I saw it in those kids' eyes, I thought, this is why. The church, we can't be all consumed with our generation, because then we miss the next one. This church does not exist to empower just this generation. It does. But this church exists to empower all generations. All generations. But the responsibility of the fathers is to look to the sons. In other words, the responsibility of every person in this room as a parent is to not see this church as a place that's for me only. But see it as a place where my children will grow, where my children's children will grow. Hey, my children will meet their future spouses in the house of the Lord. Come on. Right now, you probably already know the boy that's going to marry your girl, and you probably already know the girl that's going to marry your boy. Scares the heck out of me. But hey, we've got to be a people who know what it is to be tenacious. Follow through. The last words that Jesus ever spoke on the cross, when he stretched his arms out, he said these words, "It is finished."
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.